I have a little bit of a slideshow that I put together, not so much for you guys to look at things, but so that way I don't get lost or distracted and start going off down a rabbit trail here. And as you all know, my name's Corey Rosing, and I grew up in a small town north of here, Plainville. And here's all of my family, a picture of my father, my mother, both of my brothers, and my sister. So living in a family of six in a small town without many things, one thing that we learned that small things have value. You know, we were raised going to church. My dad taught Sunday school for a lot of years when we were growing up. And my mother, I remember her working a lot to try and make sure that we had all of the things that we needed. And an interesting thing about my mother and father is the story that I always heard that how they met. They met in the musical, Them Damn Yankees. So my dad was part of a traveling musical group, and he was in Texas at the time. So my mom's from Texas, and of course my dad's from Plainville, Kansas. But this is not their story. It's mine. So, talk about me. Growing up as a kid, I was different than the other kids. The aspect of I didn't really like sports. I liked to be outside. I'd rather play video games or watch cartoons. These on the screen, these were my biggest heroes. Transformers and He-Man and Jesus. And those were the people that I looked up to that I wanted to be like. Of course, I didn't quite get the Transformer thing down. Still a work in progress, but I was the kid that was strange and hung out with the other strange kids. The other strange kids hung out with me because nobody picked on them when they hung out with me. I had a little bit of a temper, and I tended to get in some fights when I was little. But as I grew up and grew out of that and got into middle school, weirdness never went away, but I started to make choices that weren't the best of choices. At this point in my life, I had gone from being a regular attender at church and having accepted Jesus in my life, becoming baptized, and watching my father and his addiction fall away from the church and learning to do the same thing. So as I got into middle school and high school, started making friends that didn't make very good choices. And growing up, knowing a lot of people that didn't make good choices, I started making some not so good choices. Started off with, smoking a little bit of pot here and there, and eventually it ended up in much harder drugs. And I learned some very hard things about life when it comes to drugs. They say that marijuana is a gateway drug, and I believe that that's true because it's illegal. So I don't necessarily like the legalization, but I think that it's kind of would put it in the same realm as alcohol. Maybe would keep some kids off cocaine, maybe would keep them off of heroin and all of the other junk that's out there. So it's got some merit to it. But, for me, I never formed relationships with people because I had drugs. And that period in life when I was supposed to be forming relationships with people and chasing girls and doing those things, I had a love affair with something else. I had a love affair with methamphetamines. And it slowly, as it killed me, took me away from all of the people that I cared about. I had friends of mine that had been friends my whole life that didn't even want me to come into their house. And that spoke words. The first time I overdosed, I thought, whoops, don't do that again. Second time I overdosed, I remember coming to, not having any idea where I was. Realized I was in my bathroom, I'd vomited on myself, I don't know where the blood came from, I'd gone incontinent, so I had wet myself and crapped my pants. And I pulled myself up and I looked in the mirror and my face was blue. And I heard my friends talking about where they could dump my body so that nobody would find me, so that they wouldn't have to get in trouble. And you would think maybe that would have been a wake-up call. It was like, well, maybe I need to do something about this. So I started taking my mom out to breakfast every weekend. And I could never say that I need help because I was scared. So this is a hard story. And eventually, I ended up getting a phone call from my brother, whom I hadn't talked to in 6 years, mostly because of reasons of not wanting to because of anger and disagreements and things like that. But I answered the phone, and I talked to him. And he told me a story that at the time I didn't know wasn't entirely true, but it didn't matter. He told me what I needed to hear for me to accept the fact that I needed help. And I called my mom in tears, and I told her, I said, Mom, I have a drug problem, and I need help. I said, if you would like to take me to rehab, today would be a good day to do that. So she said, okay. She said, oh, let me make some phone calls. I'll call you back. Don't go anywhere. And she did. She called me back about 30 minutes later. She said, you know, pack your bags up, get all of your things ready. I'm going to take you up to Valley Hope in Norton. I said, okay. So I packed all of my bags up and got all of my things ready and gave all of my illegals away to my roommate and was like, here, you can do whatever you want with these and go to rehab. And my mom came and picked me up, and of course, I was pretty messed up on the ride up there. I don't really remember much of the ride there. But I know when we got there, the lady at the reception desk had said that, you know, they were expecting somebody who was supposed to have been there for 2 days. They hadn't showed up. So they gave me his bed. And, you know, I didn't know that, that it was possible that my mom had called. They told her they didn't have any beds. She took me anyways. But getting that bed saved my life for more than one reason. First reason is, I needed to be there. I needed to be there to get clean. I needed to be there in order just to have a chance to live. But I needed to be there to understand that there is somebody that's died for me in order for me to be saved. I needed to be there to remember Jesus' sacrifice for me. And in the 3 days that I spent shaking and shivering and puking and going through detox, all I could think about was that. Of course, by the end of the first week, I had decided that I didn't want to be there anymore, and my counselor had a conversation with me. She sat down and told me at one point, she said, you know what? If you don't want to take this seriously, there's a graveyard 10 blocks away. I can tell you who to call to get a plot. And I just started to cry. Started to cry and finally let go of the fact that I needed to be honest. And that this woman, no matter what I had to say, was not going to judge me for it in any way at all. And I told her things that probably never told anybody else. The only other person who knows still to this day is God. And, because I did some things that for a long time I was ashamed of when I was using drugs. And when I was there, went through the program, and as I got into the second week, they decided to make me the greeter. So my job while I was there was to say hello to everybody and introduce them to people and show them around the facility. And on my third week there, we had what was called family week. And My parents come up for the week and, you know, go to different counseling sessions and things with you. And my dad, of course, had been struggling with alcoholism and addiction for a long time. And we were sitting in a group session, and my counselor said, you know, he set me down in front of him and said, say whatever's in your heart. And I looked my dad in the eyes, and I told him, I said, you know what? My entire life growing up, I never wanted to be anything but like you. Until the day I looked in the mirror and realized I didn't like that person anymore. And that's the only day I've ever seen my father cry. But the next week he checked himself in and he cleaned up his life. And that was one of the best things that came out of me realizing that I needed to do this. And then while I was there, of course, I met a girl. And everybody tells you when you're in rehab, you know, not supposed to have relationships. And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. You know, so, and then went from there and I got out and got clean and started going to meetings and everything like that. And by the end of my first year, you know, I managed to be the group representative for the NA club here in Hayes. And, you know, we're doing positive things with my life. I realized that life isn't always about not using. It's about making choices and understanding the consequences. And, you know, I'd still had a lot to learn, but I was in a period of my life where I thought everything was great. I was getting up every morning. I was praying again. I was thanking Jesus, thanking God for every breath that I had, for all of the things in my life. And, you know, I was in a relationship with this girl, and, you know, things were great when they were great, and when they weren't great, they weren't great. You know, I chose two pictures up there to put up there. The one that says hope and despair, because my entire relationship with her, it was that way. I always hoped that things were going to get better, but I always found myself walking down the avenue of despair because things just never worked. No matter how much I tried, no matter how much I gave, no matter how much I threw out, I never got anything back. And one of the things that this woman did was she managed to make me believe that I wasn't capable of doing more than what I was doing, which was just being basically a low-level worker that doesn't need any education. And I had conflict in that because I always felt like I wanted to do something better. You know, I had these thoughts and ideas of, you know, if God didn't want me here, he's had plenty of opportunities to take me away. So what is it that I'm supposed to do? I don't feel like this is it. And my dad, you know, I'd had plenty of conversations with him about it. He said, you know, you have to listen to what's in your heart and you have to follow your dreams. And, you know, it dealt with this abuse for almost 6 years before I finally started to learn to do something. And that period of time, what had happened is my dad had gotten sick with cancer, and I had become very angry with God. But in this period of time, while I was dealing with that, he told me, he said, you'll go back to school and get an education. So I did. And for the first time in years, after about the end of my first semester, I had a professor pull me to the side, and he asked me if I was doing good in his class because I enjoyed the subject, or if I was doing good in his class because I wanted an A. I told him, I said, I love this class. I haven't even opened the book. And, you know, I had somebody who was a PhD tell me, you are an extremely intelligent person and capable of great things. And that's the first time I had heard those words come out of anybody's mouth other than my mother and father for a really long time, and I needed to hear that. So I kept going to school, and I started to realize that I was capable of doing more things than working in a factory and making batteries. And I started to realize that my mind has the capacity to hold large amounts of information. And I wanted to be a teacher. So I started going to school to be a teacher. And while I'm doing this, I still have her telling me, you won't ever make any money as a teacher. There's no reason to be a teacher. And eventually I told her, I said, I can't do this. And what it really came down to was a large part of the issues is dealing with the dissolution of that relationship is infidelity. Not on my part. It was on hers. And I found out through the avenue of getting a venereal disease by getting acute bacterial prostatitis. So any of you curious how you get that, you get it from sodomizing somebody. I don't believe in doing that. So, yeah, you're all grown up enough. I'll think you can get the rest of the story on how that happened. but it was shared with me via somebody else's things. So that was the last straw. And when I put all of those things together, I was also coming up on the fact that my father passed away from cancer. And he fought for almost 4 years, and eventually got to a point where he said, I'm not going to any more hospitals, I'm not going to any more doctors, I'm not doing any more surgeries. I'm going to spend the rest of the time that I have with my family. And so it was a really, really hard point in my life. And with all of these things going on, I was very angry with God. I was still talking to God, but was not praying. Ridiculing him for what was me? Why are you doing this? Why am I having these problems? Why are you putting all of these things in my life? What is it that I'm supposed to do about all of these things? And I realized that I needed to learn some things. I needed to learn that no matter how much pain there is in this world, there's comfort in Jesus Christ. And I needed to learn that no matter how much you want to trust somebody that's a bad person, they're always going to be bad people. They're always going to do those things that they're doing to you because that's the type of person that they are. And those people are out there. And, a lot of us know them on a day-to-day basis at work, but we don't have to deal with them. Being in relationship with somebody like this is very hard. It's very hard for me to admit that I was an abused spouse because people look at me funny because I'm a very large person. But mental abuse is very, very, very wicked and very hard. And at this point, I was living at my mom's house and started making some new friends, trying to find people that were positive, doing positive things. And I made a really good friend. And we became roommates, and to this day, he's still a really good friend of mine. We ended up, going to Europe together. Trip to Europe, and it was awesome. I learned in a 2-year period that life is only made of bad circumstances if you put yourself in bad circumstances. And life is only full of hardship if you don't stand up and do something about the hardship. And as I was going through all of these, I tried going to a couple of different churches. I'd gone back to my old church in Plainville. And throughout this whole time, I'd never found a place that made me really feel welcome. And then the day came that the tide started to turn. I was sitting with a friend of mine, in the evening. We were playing some music together and just talking about things. And she told me, she said, if you continue to be angry about the things that your ex-wife did to you, you will never have room in your heart for love for any other person. And I said, you're right. We sat there and we prayed. And I let it go. For the last time, I let it go. I said, God, I'm done with this. I'm done harboring anger for anyone or anything in my heart because there's no room for it. And it's done me no good. And 3 hours later, I meet Heather. And from the day that I met her, there's not been a day that I haven't seen her, talked to her, and loved her more. And she brought me here. And this is really the first church family that I've had as an adult. With a group of people that are great people, that have never judged me, that have never been anything but welcoming, caring, and kind, and have told me if I need anything, please call. And that has meant the world to me. It has allowed me to be able to get back to God, get back to where I wanted to be when I started this whole journey, and just kind of got lost along the way. And the most amazing thing about, being a Christian and having Jesus Christ in your life is that Jesus will always, always accept you. Of course, we're not supposed to use the fact that he will always accept us as an out to do things we're not supposed to do. But it's a matter of learning how, when you have those ideas of wanting to do things you don't want to do, of giving them to Jesus and using the strength that God gives you to be able to get through those. And I have 2 beautiful children, a college education, a new job teaching for a Catholic school, and things are just going very, very well. And all I can do today is give all of that glory to God and praise God for all of the bad things early because of things God did to me. But as a result of my choices, they were things that God helped me through. So that's my story as of now. Give me 30 more years, so I'm sure I'll have a lot more story to go. So thank you very, very much.
You've been listening to Testimony Sunday at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.